Because I love him that much tonight. I'd rather talk about him and what he's done than anything else I know of. I know that maybe some people get tired of me when I go out, but I tell you what, that's the reason I like going out and going with Brother Roy. Newton will go out and we'll go to Hardy's and get a cup of coffee or something, and we'll just sit there. And that's all we talk about, is really how much God means to us and how much we love him. Y'all pray for him. He's getting mighty feeble. I took him out here week before last to Hardy's, and we just sat down there and got a cup of coffee. But, he looks good, but he's getting awful feeble about walking. He really can't. And he don't like using a cane. I don't know many people do. But he's one that don't. He don't like using a cane. But, you know, I just like being around him because I know what he's going to talk about. He's not going to run nobody down. And we don't need to run people down. We need to do all we can to lift them up. Yeah. And the only way that I know how we can lift them up is tell them about Jesus. Tell them about what he's done for us. And he's done so much for me that I cannot even thank him enough. I don't know, maybe you got something you want to say tonight. You want to just thank the Lord for something in your life that he's done. And we just need to, I think at times we just need to forget about the things around us and everything and just thank him for just being God. And just thank him for being our Lord and our Savior. Has anybody got anything you want to say? We can't, you know, every time I've talked to him and every time when he was coming to church and every time I go back and shake his hand and everything, he said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what you ready for?" He said, "I'm ready to go home." I says, "I know I am." But no, I know that maybe in times past, we don't know how long all of this has been working on him. We really don't. But you know, like I said this morning, the mind is so small there. Our mind is so small, it cannot comprehend anything. But when it comes right down to it, it will overtake our heart. And it can, and it will, if we'll let it. And it's powerful.
I
hope we
pray for my brother, amen.
Sure will.
It's a sweet hand to do the sheriff's office back. There are some things that he's not too clear on, or he don't want to be. So he's got some things that he won't give up. He won't turn loose, and he knows that it's not right. His only brother I've got now, well, there was nine of us, five brothers. There's four girls, but we're down to three.
Sure will. That's good. Anybody else?
I just love to say to my father, he's done for me. Thank you for all the prayers that he's been through, for everything that he's done for me and my family. Thank you for my family, for my children, my grandchildren. Thank you for this church. I love each and every one out here. I want to be able to see this church grow again.
It will. It will.
Thankful for what the Lord's given me. Glad, thankful that I was brought up where I was in church. And I've been in church, you know, as a teenager in many ways. But I'm just thankful that the Lord's kept me.
Amen.
He saved me. He's given me a new life.
Amen.
Thank you for saving me. For all he's done, I can't thank him enough.
We can't thank him enough.
We get it. We are the ones that get the blow. The boys are angels.
She don't ever want to talk to me. She called the phone, she called and she says, "She'll be there." Yeah.
You're more his daughter than his son, than he is his son.
I really don't want her to go. It would absolutely kill her. Safety reasons, I just don't know how much longer she's going to be with us.
All righty. Yeah, like I said earlier, I would just want to thank the Lord for saving me, and I want to thank the Lord for the open door that he's given me down through the years and everything, where I could go out and tell people about the love that he has for them. And I may not sometimes like I show it, but I do. I thank the Lord. I really do. I thank the Lord for you that are here. Because really, if it weren't for you, I don't know if I'd be preaching or not. Because the churches out here today that you go to, they don't want, they just want a little sermonette. They just want me to tell them about all his love. But you know, I can tell anybody all about his love, but I also got to tell them about his wrath too, because, you know, he brings it on me too. I mean, some things that I mean, I'm not perfect. I know I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere close to perfect. But he still tells me that I can strive to perfection. And what the word in the Bible means, perfection, imperfect, is not the same that we look at the same word as perfect as this world standard and being politically correct and everything. But the word that means perfect in God's word, it means that he is asking us to study into him and grow in him, because the word perfect means that we can mature. Maturity. And that's the only thing that we have. We have the Lord that we can grow in. And I thank you once again for allowing me to be a part of the fellowship here. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the family. And allowing me just to come up here and just stand up here and sometimes just run my mouth. But, you know, I just thank him today. I don't know of anything right now that I need to go to the Lord about, because I'm ready to go. I know my wife and my daughter are not. They're not ready for me to leave yet. And really, I'm not ready because I got some other things that I need to do. And I got a brother still lost. And I got some people that I know that needs to be saved. And I hope and pray that one day that they'll see something within my life or in what I stand for, whatever, that they would want to come and know the Lord. Because I promised them, and I do, I promise all the people, that if they'll just come, if they'll just come to church and listen, and then obey the Spirit of God, may obey the movement that is on their heart. And if they just come forward, and if they accept the Lord as their Savior, and our Redeemer, our teacher. I promised him, I says, if you will come back to me in 30 days, a year or 5 years from now, and says, that's the worst thing I've ever done in my life, was to come to go to church and listen. Allow what you call the Holy Spirit to move upon my heart that I may be saved. And I came forward. That's the worst thing I've ever done in my life. If they can tell me that, I will take this Bible, I will set it down where I'm at, never to pick it up again. But I haven't had nobody to challenge me yet on that. And when I first said it, I said, Lord, I said, why did I say that, Lord? Because I was wondering, you know, you got people out here, they'll come out and they'll say, well, hey, you said this and you said that and everything. You know, I just don't believe it. But if they'll give the Lord, if they'll allow the Lord, if they'll serve him for 30 days, and if they pray, and if they read God's word, they will never come back and say it's the worst thing they've ever done. Because I tell you, that's one thing that I did not think that I would ever do in my life was come to go to church and listen to the Lord, listen to His Word, and have His conviction upon me that I may serve Him. I've never regretted it. I failed Him so many times, but He's never failed me. He's always lifted me up. He's always encouraged me. He's always sent someone my way to say, "Preacher, we understand you. We see that you love somebody." Or they say, "Preacher, you've just been a blessing to me." The Lord uses other people to encourage us, to encourage each one of us, and I thank the Lord. You don't know how much you've encouraged me. You don't know how much you've given me faith that has built my faith up. And I know sometimes that I may not act like it. Maybe my faith is not all that strong, but it is. Because I know where it comes from. Faith Baptist Church. Now just think about that. Think about it. We're in a church. We're in a building that has the name on the front of the building. Faith. What is faith? Believing. Trusting. Faith Baptist Church. What has kept you here? Faith that you've had in the Lord, and the faith that you had within your own church, your own church building, your own church family. But tonight I just for a few minutes here, I know it's gone a little late, but 10 minutes, about 12 minutes till, and I'm going to just quickly bring up some thoughts on this. But I'm going to be in the book of Luke chapter 18, and I'm going to be reading verse 43. The only verse that I will read tonight is for the text, Luke chapter 18 in verse 43. And it says this, "And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." When I got saved, when He saved my soul, and when He took my heart and He mended it back together, the way it was corrupt, He done open heart surgery and He placed the heart of love there. Not only did He replace the old corrupt heart and He put a heart of love, but when He did put a heart of love, immediately, I wanted to be in church somewhere. I wanted to hear more about this man called Jesus. I wanted to hear more about His love. And I wanted to hear more about how could He love me. Immediately. Immediately I received him. He did not wait 6 months to take up an abode in me. He did not come to me that afternoon after I got saved and say, "Well, Donnie, you got a period now you got to go through. You got to go 6 months, a 6 month period before you can receive the gift of the Spirit, that you can receive the Holy Ghost." I don't know where they get all of that from. But nobody can get saved without the Holy Spirit. And y'all know what I've said about that. Each one of them has their specific duties to do. God the Father, He had His specific duty. The Lord Jesus Christ, He had His specific duty. And the Holy Spirit had His specific duty. Each one of them had a thing that they must do. And it takes all three for someone to be saved. You cannot get saved without the Holy Spirit. You cannot get saved without the Son of God. And you cannot get saved without God the Father. You have to have all three. That's the Trinity. That's the three in one. That's the makeup that they have. But just think about the makeup of it. We have God the Father, which is a shell, which is the outside. You can look at that an egg. But that egg, we can take that egg out of the refrigerator. And we can take it. And you can just drop it. What is it going to do? It's going to bust. It's going to come in two pieces. You're going to have the liquid form of it that's going to come out. And you got the shell. You don't have no egg there. Oh, I can remember my stepfather when he had my granddaddy, when back in the 1960 when he had a heart attack. And he went to the hospital and he'd come back home and the doctor told him this. He says, "Now, every day, I want you to take an egg in the morning. You take and you wash the outside of the egg off and you put a hole in the end of it. And then you suck all the juice out of it. You suck all the egg out." And he done that. He done it every day. But he didn't, it wasn't nothing there. It was just the raw egg. Yes, I could have God the Father. I could believe in Him. And I can believe in the Son of God. But if I just have them two, then I have something that's raw. I have something that's not fulfilled. That will not fulfill my longing. Will not help me when I get in God's Word. And when I read it. But immediately, that very day that I went to the church and I visited church, and when that preacher, and I've told you many times that he had the longest finger that I've ever known of anybody having, that finger would go out and it would have curve and a curve around here and that and everything, go around the people to get to my heart. That took the Holy Spirit to do that. And the Holy Spirit's the one that introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ. So as far as I look at it, and I will not get in an argument with nobody about it, But I believe just as soon as the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and as soon as he introduced me to the Lord Jesus, and before I even asked the Lord Jesus to save my soul, I was already saved. I was already saved. I know some people may disagree with me. That's okay. But that's the way I feel, that I was already saved. Because I won't read God's word. I won't pray. But see, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where the Comforter comes in. Immediately after I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, immediately the Holy Ghost of God came into my soul, came into my heart, came into my life. And immediately the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, started teaching me about the Lord Jesus Christ. He started teaching me about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he started teaching me about when I come up with the questions. So, you know, I've heard the preacher say, and I've read it, the where he was not married. He did not lay with man. She did not lay with man. But she conceived. She conceived a son through the dove, through the Holy Ghost of God that came from heaven that day and impregnated her, the way she would carry the miracle that would affect each and every one of us. That it would affect mankind itself. And the miracle that she was carrying was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Savior. He was the Savior of the world. He was going to eventually be the Savior of my life. He was going to eventually be the Savior of your life. He still wants to be the Savior of so many individuals out here today. But now they come up and they say, well, I got all time in the world. I ain't but 28 years old. You know, I got plenty of time. I ain't gonna sew my hoops. But every oat that you sow, you're just sowing it. You're just throwing it out there. It ain't coming up. You can go back within 5 years and where you sowed dead oats, and you can look down upon it and you can't see no growth within that. You can't see where that your life has affected someone else's life to where they can grow in the Lord. That's what we need to be concerned about. We need to be concerned about, and I need to be concerned about, my life. Is my life going to affect someone else's life? In what way? Is it going to affect my life? Is it going to affect someone else's life to where they don't want to come to church? Where they don't want to hear the gospel? Or is my life going to affect someone else to get them to thinking? My prayer is that every individual that I know and I see, and some people I even spoke to don't know them by name or nothing, my desire is to see each and every one of them saved. That's my heart's desire, to see them saved. My other heart's desire is to see this church grow. Now, I don't know about you, if you grow it or not within your own life. But I am. I grow each and every day that I come here. Each and every service that I come, I grow in some way. It may not be the growth that I think it should be. But as long as we grow, as long as the Lord touches our hearts and we grow, that's all He's asking from us. He's asking us, I just want a little bit of you. I'm not asking you to give up the world. I'm not asking you to give up your lifestyle. I'm asking for you just to allow me to come in and to speak to you to where that you can grow. And we can all can grow. We all need to grow some way, some form, some fashion. We need to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. But immediately, the Holy Spirit took up an abode within me, and He became my comforter. He became my helpmate. He became everything to me. He teaches me what the Word of God says. He teaches me what each syllable says. He teaches me what I need to know. If I don't need to know it today, and if I don't already know it, He's not going to teach it to me. He will teach it to me when I need it. Not before and not after. He's always on time in what He does. Am I on time? No. Sometimes I get to the point I say, well, you know, maybe I ought to try something a little bit different at the church. Because we done got into a routine where the devil can come in, and the devil knows exactly when he can speak to someone. And he can bring the discouragement to them. We need to change it up. Well, the one thing about it, the devil never knows what I'm going to say. He never knows what I'm going to preach. I leave all that up to God. Immediately, He received my love. Immediately, He received my walk. Immediately, He had me. He had me by the grips of His hands, leading me. He was in the front, He had my hand, and He was squeezing it so tightly. But then, I could feel where He would let go just for a second there. And the reason He let go for a second there is to get that obstacle out of the way. To get that obstacle that I was walking up to get it out of the way, to where I could become stronger. Because when we fall, what do? We'll go in head first. I've failed plenty of times. Sometimes I wonder why that I'm still even walking. I still wonder why that I'm still in the right frame of mind. Sometimes my wife says, well, my daughter, they'll disagree with me on that because I may not be in the right frame of mind with them. It's all because of Him. It's all because of Him. I don't deserve any of it. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm not even worthy to even call Him my Lord and my Savior. Are you? None of us are. But I thank the Lord. When I got saved, immediately, He came into my heart and He came into my soul. And then He introduced me to the Father that was there in heaven. Immediately, the Father took down my name and He took it and He asked for that book. That particular book, B-double-O-K. It wasn't many books, it was one book. He called for that book. And immediately, He put my name there in that book. That moment. He did not wait a day or two. He didn't say, well, I'll just, like we do a whole lot of time, we say, We just wait a while and see if they'll be here next week or week after next or something else. No. Immediately the Lord done what He said He would do. Immediately. And my name was not written with no black ink. Blue ink. It was not written in that way. It was written with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he does that, He can look and He can see by my name. He can see in looking at my name. That it was the Lord Jesus Christ that brought me to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, and then the Holy Spirit came into my heart. Immediately, then He started burdening me down about joining a church. Going and joining a church. And immediately He taught me. He said, me coming and joining that church. Is that church cannot save you. That church cannot keep you saved. Immediately, He came. And He told me, oh me, about His love. About His love that only He could give. And immediately He came. And He touched my life in a way, the way I could praise Him. I can lift up His name and I can give Him all the glory. And I can put myself on the back burner. He needs to go on the front burner. He needs to be there where it burns my heart. Where it will keep my heart seared. Keep it on fire. Because of why? Calls, what he does it immediately. He don't wait. He don't put off things that He can do right now. Not for us. You say, well, a preacher said, now, if that's the case then, why is He putting off the church here? Well, the church is not growing.
See, we don't have the mind of God. We don't know His thoughts. He has to get everything in order. He has to get everything just right. And see, he's not just working on us and helping us to have that faith in Him. But He's working on people outside. He's working on people that we have called. He's working on people that we went and we visited. He's working on other people that we have not even visited. Because one day, they're going to need somebody that will love them. They're going to need somebody that will take care of our needs. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He will take care of all of our needs and all of our wants. He will surpass everything that they ever expected from the Lord. We cannot outgive God. No way. We can't. I mean, here there's just six of us here tonight. With everybody being here, we have eight. And what God is doing with the eight people. Other churches that have 12, 15, have 20, 25 people, they can't even make it. They close the doors. They can't make it. Why? Because they don't have the faith. They don't have the faith. And God has not moved on them in such a way that immediately He comes down and He speaks to our hearts. Immediately. Oh yes, I would love to see this. I would love to see the church really grow. I really would. I'd love to see more people in here. I would love to see more people come in and then people come into the altar. I would love for them to come, and I would love to see where they're weeping and they are crying and asking God to save their soul. I long to see that. I long to yearn for that. The Lord Jesus Christ, He longs for it too. He knows what this church is. He knows where we're at. He knows what we are doing. Don't He? I think He does. Because with the missionaries that we have, and I'll tell you something. The missionaries, you ever get to the point, and if your church feels like they're getting a little low on finances, if it gets to the point it seems like that we can't, maybe we may not be able to meet all the obligations by the end of the month, we need to take on a missionary. You take on a missionary, then God will flood His house. God has took care of everything that we've ever wanted. I know of nothing that I need. There's a whole lot of things that I want, but I don't need them. I just tell my wife, I say, sometime after the first year, I'm gonna go get me a truck. I don't need a truck. I would like to have one, but I don't need it. Because even if I could buy that brand new truck, if I had the money just to go and hand them cash for that brand new pickup, forward truck, and paying almost $50,000 for it, if I had that kind of money, is that truck going to get me to someone's house that I need to go to visit? Is it going to get me to that home quicker? I would be scared to even purchase a vehicle like that. I'd be scared to death. Because I'd be so scared that where I would get in a truck and I would go and I would have intentions of visiting an individual. And I'd have a brand new truck. Less than 300 miles on it. And I'll go down the highway going to that individual's home. Then that truck, it quits. I don't make it to the destination. I don't need it. The only thing I need is have a closer walk with Him. That's all I need. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You've done for us. Thank You, Lord, that You did not put things off. Like I said tonight, immediately You came. Immediately You spoke to our hearts. Immediately. That's no second guessing me. No second guessing anybody. Because God, You knew what I needed. And Father, we do thank You tonight. Father, that You have stuck to Your word. And You've brought us all a little closer to You. Father, I long in seeing You one day. I long to be able to stand and bow at the feet of Jesus and lay what crowns that He gives me. I may not have but one, but in what crowns He gives me that I can be able to lay them at His feet. Because He is so worthy to receive the crown. I'm not worthy enough to receive them. And in me laying that crown at His feet is a symbol of me saying, Lord, thank You. Thank You for what You've done in my life. And yes, and I want to do everything I can for You. I love You tonight. I love these people. I love the families. I love everyone. I even love the individual that per se that they say that they hate me. I don't know why. But Father, I love them. I want them to have the same joy. I want everybody to have the same joy and the same love in the heart that I feel like that I have right now. That I know that I have right now with You. And Lord, we do thank You. Father, You take the remainder of this service and Father, You do with it and what You need to do. We thank You and we love You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.